Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. I do apologize for the delay of posting this episode, but still had one of those types of weeks. But the week before, I was just cluttered with busy doing things with the Library Comic-Con, which we'll talk about, helping somebody film a movie, and a whole mess more. So we're going to talk about that and maybe a little bit. We're not really going to go into news, just about cover what happened because it needs to be said. First thing we're going to cover is the Library Comic-Con, which happened on June the 4th, which was Pride Day here in Martinsburg, West by God, Virginia. The issues with the library have progressed, but... I still had a lot of issues with the Library Comic-Con because it seemed like, in my humble eyes, in regards to that particular event, it's like they choose a day, not the person that usually puts together everything. It's just that those higher than that person kind of like rub their chin and go, "Hey, we haven't had this type of event for a while. Let's do it on this day, and we're going to put this person in charge because they're a geek, and if it fails, we could blame them because they're the ones that organized it, not us." And they tell that person, John or Jane Smith, we need you to put this event together for us. And by the way, the files for the previous time we did this event are somewhere, because the reason why I say this is because normally with a lot of other events, like, let's say, Otacon, Four State, if we're part of that before, we get emails, we get notified like weeks, months. I don't mean like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I mean literally like 6, 8 weeks, if not more, in advance. Heck, I haven't been approved for this year's Otacon. I don't know if I'm going one day or all 3 days, but still, that's besides the point. I haven't been approved yet, but I'm still getting I'm on their email list in regards to guests. So, I'm still on their, in essence, their press release list, which is kind of cool, kind of awesome. But, and that's from like a year ago. And when it comes to the library event, this new person that is in charge of this, I'm going to put this a little bit on me. I might have missed her email because I get a lot of spam emails with her same, at least with the person's same first name, and I might have just went delete. But a lot of the stuff that happened like, I didn't know about this event until about 3 weeks prior. And I didn't know about it until I walked into one of my regular shops that sells a lot of geeky things in it. And he's the one told me, he's like, "Hey, Rev, are you going to be set up at this event? Are you able to do it? Because I know you work weekends at your 9 to 5. And I was like, "Wait a minute, they're actually doing it this year?" And I'm like, "Yeah." So I had to put in for that day and everything else. I had to, in essence, rush to get everything done to make sure everything was set so I can do this event and everything else, because everything was on the last, almost the last minute. So it was like that. And one of the things that they tend not to do, I'll put it like this. When it comes to something like Otacon, and Otacon has loads of money for advertisement. Four State, they advertise. Actually, that was one of my biggest weird thing. It wasn't a complaint on 4State. It was more a complaint on Facebook because Facebook was giving me, somebody who clicked, "I am going to this event," they were giving me ads about this event. So the thing is with the library, they don't push out. It was like, we're kind of hiding this. They didn't create, I don't think they created the event until maybe about 2 weeks prior to the event, and it seemed like, again, no one was spreading the word. No one knew about it. No, literally, quite, people were like, really, this event is happening? And I'm part of a chat group on Facebook that deals with a lot of geek-related events in regards to vendors, i.e. like, hey, just in case, meaning if I miss something or somebody else missed something, this is the chat to say, hey, this convention is starting to take vendor requests or panel requests, that sort of thing. Someone put up in that group, it's like, hey, this library in like Frederick County or something like that is having their library Comic-Con. And it was like for August and something like that, like late July, early August. And I chuckled, pretty much put in the chat, LOL. And it's like, that holds up my argument in regards to a couple of things. And some folks had to inquire as to why. And I told them, it's like, yeah, in about less than 3 weeks, the Martinsburg Library is having their Comic-Con. And they were like, really? they're doing it. And like, I didn't hear anything about it. And this is somebody that does a lot of shows. And this is perfect for her because she is a Berkeley County resident, meaning she could easily get to this event and set up for it. And with the fee, it's really cheap. So she replies like, really? I heard nothing about it. Nobody told her. She didn't get an email. She's done this many years in the past. So that kind of holds up. And she also stated that even if I was able to make this, I wouldn't do it anyway, because not because it's short notice, because I have a lot of people stealing stuff from my booth at this event. And that's completely understandable. With a library event like this, it seems like there's a lot of vendors there that don't really care about you. There's no real family-friendly or con-family there to keep an eye out for you. It is all ruthless aspects. It's like, I don't know you, so I'm just going to ignore you. If people steal your stuff, they're going to steal your stuff. So it's that sort of thing, and it's not... And the Martinsburg Library Comic-Con is pretty much like... comes off as like the family dollar, if not the Dollar Tree or Dollar General aspect of cons, because it's all like low-key. They don't really advertise anything for it. I was surprised to actually see flyers around downtown Martinsburg in regards to this event. And I'm going to say this, even though that there have been more people coming to the downtown Martinsburg area, there are still plenty of people not coming to the downtown area in Martinsburg and not having the proper connections like what Four State or Otacon. I'll put Four State because they're local, more of a smaller convention or more of a local convention than what Otacon is. Otacon has a way butt ton more resources available to them in regards to getting their name out there than Four State. Four State still had a record year this past year because everybody was pushing it. Everybody was pushing it. It's like, can you push this? Can you push this? They were really exercising their name to get out there. Whereas the Martinsburg Library was like, we got to do something. And it was that. And one of my bigger beefs was that it was happening on Pride Day, June 4th. And our downtown area was having its own Pride Day event. And I'm not knocking, it's going to come off like I'm knocking Pride Day and that whole aspect. I'm not. It was, from what I heard through many of the people that were attending the event, it was a wonderful event. It was very laid back and fun. It was great, friendly event to go to. But I couldn't get a chance to really film the event itself. I did film the setup. It's available on our YouTube channel if you want to go there and check things out. Links are in the description somewhere, wherever you find this podcast. But in regards to it, it seemed like the library, when they chose this event, was they chose it on Pride Day to kind of let the downtown Martinsburg folks, like Main Street Martinsburg, and those involved with that, to advertise that event in hopes that there would be runoff. And if there is a positive and a negative to that, meaning that with that, the positive is that there is a small percentage. If you get, let's say, 5,000 people going to the Pride Day event, you might get, hopefully, on all hopes, 10% to come to this event. But it has to be pretty much dead set in an event to see those results. And with the library being anywhere between 100 to 200 yards away from the center of this event, or at least the outer border of this event, meaning I'd say from the closest barricade, it was about 150 yards. So it was probably more than that to the dead center where the bulk of the crowd was that. And there was only one sign out front. And if you didn't approach that one barricade and look in the direction of the library, you would have not known something was going on over at the library. So, but overall, things did, people did come. There was like waves, like there'd be a big wave, a big rush of people coming. Then it would go quiet for 15, 20 minutes, if not about 30 minutes. Then there would be another big rush of people coming in. But it was like, oh yeah, this is the library, and they'd probably just turn around and leave. And they didn't really stay that long. They didn't really talk that long. We did have our standard flyers. We were giving away dice with our business cards in it. We had a lot of people engage with us in regards to our show, what we were about. The biggest reaction we got from the event was the dice, or I should say our box of dice. Even though we had a nice little cute little bowl to put dice in, we had a box full of the spares. So, meaning when the bowl got low, I'd reach in a hand, get a handful of more dice, and I'll put them in the bowl. And a few people was like, I don't see X color. Do you have any X color? And it was me pulling out that box and saying, you're more than welcome to check, and seeing their eyes just go wide, like, holy crap. I didn't see, you know, like, I can look in the box? And it wasn't just the kids with this, like, going wide-eyed. It was adults. The response was very enthusiastic. The response to people wanting to hear about the show and what we were about. And special thanks to King Dolphin TV for allowing us on his web show on YouTube. Well, I'll put that link in the description as well if I remember, because it was an author next to us that his book was about dolphins. It was like a sci-fi adventure that involved dolphins, and that he also did a web show. Again, it was called King Dolphin TV, and he got he went, I hear, ah, crap, and he turns to me and he's like, hey, Rev, how would you like to be on, you know, the show this week or the following, you know, the upcoming Wednesday? I was like, sure, why not? Let's do it. Let's hook up. And it's because he got a last minute cancel. And I was on his show for about, roughly 2 hours or so. And it was a wonderful time. I did get kind of quizzed, you know, it was kind of expected. That, like, you don't come across like a real geek, so therefore we gotta quiz you about, you know, what's behind your, you know, the posters you have up, you know, what do you do in regards to this? That was all kind of standard. A lot of people, it was the equivalent of walking into an area with a Nirvana shirt and somebody coming up and was like, please name three albums, please. And it was something, the equivalent of that, but I was kind of expecting it a little bit. And his audience seemed impressed in regards to it. We do have walkthroughs and all that up. We did, in regards to it, on our YouTube channel. Again, links are in the description. Feel free to check it out. And I will also say this. We did have one butthead, and I'm being very polite like this so I could see if I could take off that E rating. But the aspect of, he was a butt. It was like, okay, tell me about your show. I told him about my show. I said, I must admit, if you go, it's like there's a little bit of a couple aspects of a leave of absence. I had to take a little bit of time off in regards to, since I'm the only person that usually does this a lot of the time, I had to take time off, back away a little bit in regards to my mental health. And he was like, all right, which platform do you have the most traction? And I told him, like, well, it's kind of 50-50, but I've been doing a little bit of, with the YouTube aspect, which has been getting a little bit more traction. Well, you've got to do that. You guys stick with that. Screw your audio section. Screw your listeners there. I'm like, no, you don't know nothing about the game nowadays. It's a little bit of everything. For a lot of folks like myself, YouTube is an additional tool. If I don't feel like posting up an audio show, I'll post up a YouTube video. It's more of a relaxed format. I don't bow down to the algorithm. And I was really close to telling this guy, you don't give me six figures a month to say anything in regards to that. I don't listen to you. Even if you paid me six figures a year, I wouldn't still listen to you because it's not your program. It's my program. And I get to choose who I want on my show and what the standards are for that. And he was the type of person that I would not have, even if he really knew what he was talking about, I wouldn't have on my show, because his attitude is not, and how he came off was not part of the criteria for my show. He would not have been nice to all of you. And because he didn't come off nice to me and respectful. And with this aspect of podcasting, it is very, what is good for one person is not good for the other. So he was the only downside in regards to this. We didn't have a lot of folks really complain about the name like we've had before. Everybody was welcoming. I had one or two people kind of like, softly, it was like real softly in regards to, because it was Pride Day, Pressman is like, would you really, it came up, it was asked without actually being asked, like, would you have somebody that is part of the LGBTQ community on your show? And it was like, yeah, I would. I've had people part of that community on my show before. And you're more than welcome to listen to those people. I'll give you the names and what they've done. And it's that sort of thing. And it allowed me a little bit. And to see them hear that was, you know, it's like, wait a minute, he is welcome. He's not a complete butthead, or he's not a complete jerk. It's a way for, you know, the show is a way for him to, the name of the show is a way for him to bring people over. And they understood that. And everything was great. Everything was wonderful. We got a, yeah, the videos were just our only other content. There was not really a time or a place or where that we could just easily get an interview or anything like that, an audio interview, which led us to Sunday. And Sunday we got asked, this was our second filming date for the movie Zero. This movie is a zombie flick. Hopefully we'll have the man, the myth, the legend behind everything, Wes, on our show to talk about
this particular project that he's working on, maybe after everything's said and done filming, and he's in the midst of editing everything, he could talk to us a little bit about this. Matter of fact, he did talk to us a little bit about it. That video is on our YouTube channel. It is the first zero behind the scenes aspect in regards to his movie. A few weeks ago, about a little bit more than a month ago, we did the first filming, and we had some time off, and I asked, because Matt was trying to wrangle squirrels in regards to this, or herd squirrels, to get people together. I was like, hey, Matt, do you still need help in regards to filming today? And he was like, yeah, man, just come on down. Just come on down. Don't worry about it. And I showed up, and it was just a wonderful day. Got him to do some behind the scenes stuff and share it with all of you. And he was like, will you be able to do it on the 5th? And I was like, I'll see, Matt, I'll see. And it's like, even Wes, like, you're going to be here on, you know, the 5th. And, you know, it's like, guys, Wes, Matt, you're a great bud. I'll have to see. I'll literally have to see. And with everything, it's like, you know what? I'm going to take off the 5th as well. And I wandered up. We did filming on the 5th. It was a wonderful time seeing everybody and filming, getting done up. Even got to see our co-host, Big Candy, at this particular filming. Even he got a chance to become a zombie and just shuffle around and moan and say brains and all that fun jazz for this event and help Wes and Matt, Wes, and everybody else involved. We got to see Jess. That's right. We got to see, once again, Captain Decapitate in regards to getting done up as a zombie and do his thing. So this was just a wonderful time. We did have, where we were filming was at the Berkeley complex. I forgot what it's called. And actually the complex is called. It's where the Berkeley Theater is. And the theater is a wonderful theater. But the person behind everything, or again, not check that E, or I should uncheck the box for the E, had to be a real pain in the butt, and a real jerk, a Kyle, a Karen, and everything else. We were filming all day, and everything, and when we were doing the last little bit of the day, all we had to do was maybe two or three little takes, and that was it. We weren't blocking the Berkeley Theater entrance at all. We were just by the side of, you know, the one side where the vacant stores were. We were just relaxing there. We did have one couple come up to us and, like, standing, like, waiting around. And it was me who pretty much said, if you think that this is the line to go in, no, there's no line. You can just head on in. The Berkeley Theater was already open because they take about an hour break between, like, matinee and the evening aspects of things. And we were just at that point. People were already in. And why these people thought we were in line waiting to go in to see movies that were already out for like 2 or 3 weeks is mind boggling. One of the people that was out there with us, I'm not sure who, said, yeah, we're filming a movie. And because we were getting odd looks the whole day, for the most part, those who did give us odd looks, the kids were like, oh my God, it's zombies. Cool. We've kind of figured and speculated that the kids and a good chunk of the folks, you know, we're cool of what we were doing. And the fact that it was maybe one or two of the parents that had their underwear in a bind and had sand in their neither regions are the ones that kind of whined, complained, and kind of wanting to be Karens and Kyles themselves. And then the Berkeley Theater, instead of saying, hey, you know, just, they're not blocking them. Did they bother you? Did they approach you? Did they touch you? Did they do anything to you? No. Then, you know, leave them alone. They're fine. But no, the manager had came out and like, you're blocking the entrance. From what we were told, the manager came out and was like, you're blocking the entrance. How dare you? We were nowhere near the entrance.
There was plenty of room for people to go to the entrance. We weren't blocking any fire exits or anything like that. Just that he had to be like, you made it, from what we were told, he was like, you made a child cry. No, he didn't. Good chance it was a parent that made the child cry because they had to be a parent. And we walked back. A couple of folks involved walked back and then kind of talked with the owner, talked to him, was like, wait a minute, we just wanted to film a spot. We weren't anything like that. It's like, well, you could only do this, that, and the other thing. And he still had to be this, you know, I don't think it was the owners. It was the manager that had to be this. In regards to have that bro attitude. Like, we're not really, and have that aspect of a Karen or a Kyle in regards to it. And had to placate to, again, he had to be a Kyle or a Karen because somebody else had to be a Kyle or a Karen. And for those who don't know, a Karen or a Kyle is somebody who thinks that they're more entitled than everybody else. And sometimes you see it from just normal customers. Sometimes you'll have a manager because they have the rank of manager. No, you're not. You're just one of us. You just have a title. But still. And not to mention, one of the folks that was there filming with us, hanging out with us, having a good time. And he was a believer of CYA. And for those of you who don't know what CYA means, and that means cover your butt. That's right. CYA also can be abbreviated by CYB, cover your butt. And that's what he did. And the reason why he covered his butt is because, well, he was walking around in tactical gear and had a fake weapon. And because of this, and because we didn't want cops, he didn't want cops called on the set 15 times that day, he went to the local sheriff's station, because that's what the jurisdiction was the sheriff, Berkeley County Sheriff's Department, and said, hey, me and my friends are recording a movie. I'll be walking around in tactical gear with a fake weapon. Just wanted to let you know. We'll be there for maybe about a few hours, between like 10 and 5 or noon to 6 or something like that, plus or minus. And sure enough, he gets a call within 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, from the manager shooing us away. And the call he got was from the sheriff's department. Of course, the sheriff's department came down. Just, they had to do their job and check. We're not faulting the Berkeley County Sheriff's Department. It's like they had to go, hey, you Tommy? Yeah. Yeah, we got a call. We just had, this usual rhetoric. Yeah, thanks for covering your butt. And it was like, we just have to, you know, make sure things are up and up and that you're the Tommy that came into our department and followed everything, did all the paperwork. And he was like, yeah, the cops were cool, we were cool, no one was arrested. It was just a weird coincidence in regards to everything. So that was the fun thing. But we did wrap up, we found a workaround. It's just that at times when there's a lot of, you know, jerks and buttheads that have to wreck things and everybody else's good time, and it's like, especially the mood that everybody was in, it was like, hey, you want in on this? You know, it was like, can I be in on this too? You know, it would have been awesome, totally awesome. Like when we did the end of May, when was the first recording I was a part of, or filming in regards to this that I was a part of. And we were out in the middle of downtown Martinsburg filming scenes, and there were folks done up as zombies, and we were stopped. we're about to shout action, and this kid was pretty much dragging his parents, going, "See, Mom, zombies." It was funny as hell. She was like, "Oh my God, you're really right. There are zombies. Cool." And there were more. They were really polite and just like, what are you guys doing? We're filming a movie. Really? Cool. That's cool. Can I get some information where I could watch the trailer for when it comes out and this and that? I mean, it was just, you know, that sort of thing. We weren't interrupted. We weren't anything else like that, but it was just wonderful. Thanks to Wes for letting us be a part of this, and I do appreciate the library for having their event. Will we do it next year? Yes, it's cheap enough, and the money goes to the library, but it like always, it seems very disorganized. And it seems like how the upper echelons of the library work it so the person doing it gets tossed under the bus. And I know some of you out there, in regards to that, it's like, why would you do the library? It's local. Even though we go to Hagerstown and promote there, if we had a way to do Frederick, we'd do that. The one in Frederick County, we'd do that one too. It's a way to extend our reach if and when we can. It's one of the reasons why we try to do Otacon every year. But there are aspects of getting our name out there and kind of promoting ourselves in a way is totally half butt backwards and asinine, because it's like, oh, you can't promote yourself because we're at this convention center and they don't like that. They don't like it when you promote. You can't promote, but we'll allow these folks to promote for whatever reason because you're more visible. No, just because I'm the loudest mofo promoting doesn't mean you shouldn't be going after those suckers too, all right? But it might be one of the reasons why we're sticking to one day this year instead of three. But still, in regards to Wes, why do we do films like with what Wes is doing? It's because, simply put, even though we don't know Wes that well, we know Matt. Matt's a friend. We want to help the independent film community as best we can. Don Ramirez was part of filming this, and excuse me. It's helping friends, and why not? That's what we do. We help friends. There, as we said at our local library event here in Martinsburg, we don't see you guys as fams. That's a YouTube idiotic term. Oh, you're fams. We see you as family. You're part of the family. That's what they are. That's what the folks out there are. They're family. They're our con family. They're our filming family. Matt's part of our con family. We have slightly a filming family, oddly enough. So that's why we do this. We help support our family best we can. So that's why we do these. That's why we help do behind the scenes stuff. It's helped promote them in a way. We show up to help them with their project. Will it succeed? We don't know. But we're there to support them in some manner. So when Zero Friendly drops, we will probably pay for that. Speaking of when something, an independent film we supported drops, we will support them. Right now, with everything going on and the limited funds that we just kind of had, if we had more funds, we would have picked it up. We'll pick it up on Friday because it's cheap enough, and we'll be supporting an indie creator. If it's still up on Friday, more than likely it will. We will support them. David Kerr and his project Bloody Summer Camp is currently available on Vudu, so we will be supporting him again by buying it on Vudu. Heck, we might, once we buy it and we have time to actually watch it, we will do a watch it and we will do a review and our thoughts on it. We'll send it to Dave, and we'll let him know, hey Dave, We watched it. We got it. This is our thoughts on it. We paid for it. We didn't rent the son of a bitch. But, therefore, this is what we thought. And one last thing before, as probably seen on our YouTube channel, we got a Pawn Shop Fund because, as some of you might know, for the longest time, I want to say since earlier this year,
the Xbox One S died on us. The HDMI port died. And the aspect behind that, now, folks out there that might be new to the whole gaming console aspect of things, on the Xbox side of things, if you're not familiar with that console, it is a little bit confusing. If you want to go back about 6-7 years, in the video I said it was like 7 years ago, it was more like six. We got the OG, real thick Xbox One. It was a pawn shop find. It came with two. Ironically, it came with two games pre in the box that we redeemed via a digital code. I don't think the pawn shop that we got it from realized that the codes were still in the box and unredeemed. But still, I'm happy to give the pawn shop's name. It's Paradise Pawn here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Wonderful group of people. And I'll say that because they didn't have to do what they did for us. Because what happened was, again, what we did last year is we picked up a Xbox One X. And we initially had a Xbox One S. These are different than the models out today. What Xbox did between the original Xbox One coming out and the current generation, which is the Xbox Series S and Series X, is they put out two in-between models, an Xbox One X and an Xbox One S. Why they just decided, you know what, we did this, they're in between the current generation and the new generation. Let's give the new generation a new name so people won't get confused. Guess what? Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, decided, well, screw that. We're going to keep the names. We're just going to add the word series between Xbox One and X or S. So, I went to earlier, I would say about a month or so ago, I went to Paradise Spawn, and they had a Xbox One S on the shelf for sale. And I was like, okay, this is cool. I'll use their layaway. And I had the money down to put for layaway. That's what I did. And a couple of weeks go by, maybe a week or two goes by. I'm like, wait a minute, I got extra funds this week. Let me put up some extra funds towards my layaway at Paradise Pond. Walk in the shop, and there on the shelf, in box, was a Xbox Series X. Not Series X, Series S, sitting on that shelf. Nice, white, all-digital Series S sitting on that shelf. I was like, oh, heck with me, man. Sure enough, like, not even 2-3 weeks after I put my Xbox One S on layaway, they get a Series S in for sale. Ain't that some crap, right? And I asked for the, lady in the counter, because she was nice and polite, and said, and asked me, it's like, how can I help you? And it's like, hey, I might come off as a Karen or Kyle. If I am, I do deeply apologize, but I'd like to ask, is it possible to switch out my layaway? And she was like, what do you mean? It's like, well, my layaway, and she took my information, and she took my IDs, because I had to prove who I was. I can understand that. It's like, listen, I have this model on layaway. What I want to do is switch it out for what's on the shelf. She was like, yeah, we can do that. And she looked at the information. She did the whole check. And she was like, yeah, you've been cool with us. So the attitude I got was, hey, you've been cool with us. Let's be cool with you. This is not like something that you've done every single damn time. You know, we can do this once. You're not doing something off. It's not like I'm, it's like, you do realize I'm a podcaster. I'll give you guys a shout out if you do this for me. No, I'm doing it after the fact. because I don't use this as a flex. So she was like, yeah, we can do it. And it's like, anything else? And like, yeah, can I put a couple extra bucks towards the layaway? She was like, yeah, we can do that too. And after a week or two after that, I gathered the money together, and I currently have in front of me the Xbox Series S sitting on the shelf, ready to be played. It's all set up. The show's gamer tag is on there. My personal gamer tag is on there. Everything is hooked up. Now, we were kind of sharing the membership with our membership with somebody else. I mean, they can mooch off our membership for free. But we're just waiting on their information so we can enter it in our system. So we could add them and, do that sort of thing. And so that way, if they want to do that, they'll have that benefit. So there's that. That's the only thing we're waiting on, which is cool, but we're all set up, we're ready to go, and because of how Xbox is with a couple of things and how they deal with things, there might be a chance we'll be able to stream now more often, like we've been streaming that much as it is. Maybe we'll stream a little bit more on Twitch in regards to either like Halo. We'll probably have to delete a game or something, because the Xbox One Series S, their storage is extremely small on it. It's only, with the format, it's less than half a gig. We'll have to download something so we could go back into and do, like Halo Infinite, see what's going on there. Maybe they finally added, yeah, right, Forge, but they kind of pushed that off until probably the end of this year, end of 2022, or start of 2023. So we'll figure that out as we go, but until then, we'll have to see. Maybe we could start streaming again. We have so much to catch up on in regards to the Xbox side of things. We've currently been focusing on the PS4 side of things. We've been playing heavily with a friend on the PS4 to boost his character on Borderlands 2. And we've just been having fun with that, going to Hog Heaven. So eventually we'll wander back up to the Xbox Live sort of thing. But we still have a lot of same problems with the Xbox side of things than we had prior, meaning that even though we have the most friends on the Xbox side of things, but no one's on really online that often or playing that much on that side of things, and getting friends to play on that side of things is like pulling teeth. Yet seeing a friend play on Xbox Live with like Borderlands, I could just easily jump in and play. I haven't mentioned his name on the show that often, and that is Justin Leal over from SkeletonCrewBrand.com. He plays every now and again. I'm not sure if it's him or his youngster that plays on his system that much. So me jumping in and to play on like Battlefront or Fortnite, so I don't know if it's him playing or his kid. So me jumping in and playing with someone I'm not really sure I'm playing with is kind of awkward. And since if I message him saying, "Justin, that you or your boy?" is kind of awkward and weird. Makes me feel awkward and weird. So Justin, if you're online and if you're playing and if you hear this, let me know. It's like, hey, I saw you playing a little briefly with Tiny Tina's Dragon's Keep the standalone version. If you want to team up with that, I'll help you along with that. Maybe we'll do some raid bosses when we get to that point, and so forth and so on. So we can do that. Just there's a lot of things we can, just letting you know, but we're having fun. Maybe, Justin, maybe we could stream one day. That's one of the things we can do. I don't pay for games that much anymore or as gifts because not many people play anymore. So why bother? That's it for now. I've been on Ranting and Raving for long enough. So I'll see, hopefully I'll see you guys next week or sometime soon. Whatever the case may be, take care. I am out. All the links and stuff are in the, before I say, I know I said it, but let me just say this. All links are in the description down below. If you want to send us a question, comment, or whatever, you can always send it to us via email, which is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or you can put a comment on our pin post at Longcoat Mafia. Not Longcoat Mafia. on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast. And don't forget, our main website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. All our links are there. They're clickable. We did update it, so it's more looks a little bit more pretty on all platforms, ranging from desktop to your mobile phone. So all you have to do is go there, tap on one of the episodes. You don't have to download it. You don't have to play it. But all our links are there in the description of each episode that's available. Plus, we are available on all the platforms if you so choose. So if you want ever switch from like an iPhone or an iPad to a Google device, we are available on both the podcasting platforms, on both, whether it be Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. Heck, if you want to be neutral about it, we are on Spotify, plus a whole butt-ton of other platforms. So, take care, one and all. I'm the Reverend Godfather, and I am out of here.
You've been listening to the Longcoat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.